Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
They have gotten to a point in technology that I'm uncomfortable with. They've reached it. I'm sure they have prior, but this story really jumps out at me as something that's just a bit too much. Now, there's many different reasons for it, some practical, some obvious. But with Alexa's new upgrade, we all know what Alexa is. Alexa, turn on the lights. Alexa, I don't know.
Play WFAN.
Play WFAN, right? Do that. Definitely do that. That should have been my first example. Alexa, play WFN, Carden Roberts specifically. But apparently, with the upgrades that they are now doing to Alexa, with a very short audio clip of any voice, even obviously deceased people, if you have a short clip of a voice, you can train your Alexa to completely speak in that voice, answer questions in that voice. I'm reading the article, read a book in that voice. So if you're, you know, in the article, the example is your grandmother recently had passed away. You can give that voice to Alexa, and then your grandmother theoretically can still read books to you at night. Alexa, in grandma's voice, read, you know, The Hobbit in my case, or whatever, you know, the book. I don't know how I feel about that. Don't you think that's a bit much? First off, for the practical, if they have technology to just make it sound like any voice, where are we going here? Like, Alexa could just, you know, call my wife and make dinner plans without me knowing. And then Alexa just shows up. And suddenly, then the wife's having an affair with Alexa. That's the last thing we need.
Dude, I don't know, man. I feel like when, obviously, when someone passes away in your life, you miss them, you love them. But, dude, having to hear their voice, you know, tell you the weather or, like, deals on Amazon. Or read you a book if it's sentimental. I could not go that path.
Like, or, like, you know, like, we've talked about on the show, like, my father passed away.
Yes.
Like, wouldn't it, like, on a lonely night, just be like, Daddy, aren't you proud of me? It's like, yes, son. Yes. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Yes.
Simba.
Yes, I am proud of you. I'm hosting on Afternoon Drive. Aren't you proud of me, Daddy?
What a great son I raised.
See? It's a little weird to me.
It is.
It's like playing, even Genie was all wise, all powerful, itty bitty living space, but he couldn't bring people back from the dead. Now Alexa thinks they can?
That was one of the rules. I think it would be fascinating to maybe be in a situation where, like, hey, if I could have one more conversation with my grandfather, my father, something like that, that's different.
But it's Alexa. It's not your grandfather or father. It's Alexa.
Right, but you're essentially trying to bring them back in the form of a speaker.
I wouldn't want to do it.
That's what I'm saying. It's just a weird path.
I remember, this is really personal, I'm not sure, but when my dad passed away, I remember he was the voice on the voicemail, on the answering machine, back when answering machines were a thing in your home. And it was a conversation with my mom. I would have left it for a little bit to just call in and hear his voice. And she was like, no. It's almost like, even I who wanted it, I wouldn't still be doing it. Wouldn't it be weird if you called my voice? Hi, you've reached, you know.
Before my grandfather passed away, we had a great relationship, got me into sports, got me to listen to The Fan. Mm-hmm. Right before he passed away, he left me a voicemail, which I listened to and I still had on my phone.
Of course.
And I never went back to listen to it. I always thought, like, what would it be like to hear his voice? And I was just like, I can't do it. So there's just this weird, like, it is what it is. But, like, yeah, when you start going down this path, it's just weird and creepy. And, bro, there are things going on and there are things being cooked up that we don't know about that are just so off the wall. But, yeah, it's just not healthy.
No.
That's the way to say it. It's not healthy. Yeah. You mourn, you love them, you remember them, but you know what I mean?
I agree.
Home videos, there's pictures.
Yes.
They're not reading your book when you go to bed. You just, I just would not go down that path.
Yeah.
And I probably wouldn't advise anybody to do that.
It just seems like, well, you know. But then there's also the practical issue, which is brought up in the article, about the ability to have voices duped. Have you seen the Tom Cruise?
What's the app called?
Like, that scares the hell out of me.
The
that
deep looks fake Tom Cruise. You can't tell the difference between the real and the fake Tom Cruise.
That's a big problem.
That's a big problem.
Seriously, because you could have deep fake Tom Cruise say God knows what.
No, and Tom Cruise is screwed.
Right. Now, Tom Cruise probably get himself screwed but you know what I mean?
Well, Tom Cruise is loving life right now.
Oh, of course.
The movie's a huge success.
Where are we up to at that? Because when we did the show Memorial Day, it broke records that weekend. I don't know what the count is now.
All I know is the last thing I read was that it had the smallest drop-off from week one to week four since Avatar.
Wow.
Yeah. That the amount of people, like, didn't make as much, Avatar was a bigger, but, like, the difference between week one and week four, the weekend of week one and the weekend of week four, was the shortest gap between those 2 weeks since Avatar.
That's crazy, because a movie like Avatar, you have a bunch of
everyone's going to see it still.
Bunch of dudes with sweaty neck beards going to see Avatar 4 or 5 times, but Top Gun is not really in that dorky category. For them to have that, and when, you know what I mean? Like, there's very few.
No, 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 I went to go see Avatar in the movie theater. What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Well, it's a dorky movie, and I saw it on opening night in 3D. Because it is. It's fantasy. It's James Cameron. It's dorky. What do you mean? Are you kidding me?
The guy goes
into a world and hooks up with a blue girl. What do you mean? What?
Are you going to see the new one?
No, I'm not suggesting that I won't see it and that I'm not nerdy, but let's just call a spade here.
It's not nerdy.
It's nerdy. Avatar?
Yeah,
come on.
What's the matter with Avatar?
It's fantasy, and I love
fantasy.
So
all fantasy films are Dune was nerdy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nerdy.
Yes. Tommy, though, I believe you are a big Star Wars fan.
I love Star Wars, but let's be honest here.
Well, What's more nerdy, Star Wars or Avatar? Oh,
Star Wars. You go to opening night at Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Trek, those are nerdy. People geek out about it. I understand that. You know, Lord of the Rings, people showed up to the theater dressed as people. I get it.
Dude, on opening night, everybody in there combined has maybe seen one naked woman their entire life. I mean, it's just reality. I love Star Wars, but it's just nerdy. You know, it's funny. You'll appreciate this real quick. Back to the Future. I feel like they're making the musical, right? There's so many of these franchises.
Are they making a musical?
I think it's going to be on Broadway next year.
Oh, wow.
They have taken every single franchise, I feel like, and beaten them to death. But that's one of the one trilogies where they've kind of kept it where it is, right?
Back to the Future?
Yeah, they haven't done a show. They haven't done more movies.
No.
And it's a great trilogy. Some things I just want to be left where it is.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? We mentioned Star Wars. Wouldn't it be great to have just left Star Wars where it was, this great, amazing trilogy?
Yeah, they kind of went the other way with
that. Went the other way. The prequels are an embarrassment. I'm sorry?
No, come on, hate my man Jar Jar.
Dude, now you're trolling. Jar Jar, one of the worst characters in the history of film, let alone Star Wars.
I was 5 when I first saw that movie. That's my favorite dude.
I get it. I was a teenager. Those were our Star Wars. They are atrocious. Revenge of the Sith is probably the only one that's halfway decent, pretty dark. They are embarrassing. So sometimes it's like, just leave it alone. And I thought Back to the Future might be one of those, but they are doing a musical. I don't know if that counts or not. But sometimes just leave a great thing great and don't touch it.
No,
Come up. Here's a concept. Come up with new ideas.
Yeah, like Avatar, and then you call them nerdy.
It's a nerdy movie, though.
They try and do something good, and what do? You bad mouth.
The nerdy movies
make
fun.
It's a nerdy movie.
No, I'm a nerd, but
it goes there, people with, like, you know, long beards and haven't seen a naked woman. That's who goes to see Avatar. Ugh.
It's true. And they go see it 4 or 5 times. Why? That's why the movie makes $55 billion.
That's a different story.
Right.
I'm seeing Avatar for the 5th time this week. Okay,
that's a
bit nerdy.
I said you had the guys with sweaty neck beards going to see it 4 to 5 times. That's how that number gets to that point.
What's with the neck beard?
That's also the wrestling crowd, too, which I like a lot, too. So the more I think about it, I may actually just be that person.
You are upsetting your people left and right. You're upset every Net fan.
I'm projecting.
And Met fan, excuse me. You're just I don't know what to say about you, honestly. Mike in Brooklyn, what's going on, Mike? You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, boys?
What's up?
I want to say, first off, I am a diehard Net fan.
Mm-hmm.
I have been a Net fan since my day. I think everyone is overreacting with this whole Kyrie situation because the reality is he's not going anywhere. Has no leverage. The man is not walking away from $30 million and signing for $7 million with the Lakers. Kevin Durant is not going anywhere. He's under contract for 4 years.
Yeah, but we've seen this. If they don't want to be here, they're not going to be here. That's just it. It's just that simple.
But what do they do to leave? Because Sean Moss doesn't have to trade him. You want to sit out for 4 years and not play basketball, that's one thing. But Sean Moss doesn't have to say that.
You want to just not play Kevin Durant and have no value there whatsoever?
No, I want him to play.
Well, if he doesn't want, what if it gets to the point where he doesn't want to play? What are you going to do? Get no value for him? Just sit and then hold your breath, stomp your feet, and go, yeah, you can't do anything?
And you don't want your superstar players unhappy.
Yeah, that's
it's just
that
not going to work. It's not going to work, and they're going to find a way out because guess what? This is the NBA.
Yes.
If the star players are not happy and they want out, they get out.
And I don't disagree with your premise that he's going to I do think the most likely outcome is they do figure this out because the Nets don't have an option. I understand you're saying that they don't have an option. What are you going to do? Go play under the tax of these teams that can't afford you, that you need the Nets to trade you if you're Kyrie. And then if you're KD, you're under contract for 4 years. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? But at the same time, we all know how it works. I can't tell you exactly how it's going to happen, but some way or another, the players are going to get their way. It's just when you're this good, when you mean this much to the team, they don't play games where they figure out a way to make you happy or they figure out a way to move you so you're happy. That's just the way it is.
And this is what the league has created, and the NBA has become sort of where the off-the-court drama free agency trades has become bigger than the sport, and I think they like it that way. They like people talking about this stuff. Who's going to team up? Who's going to be the next big three? It's become bigger than the actual watching the basketball games. Unlike any other sport, the NBA has created where the offseason has more buzz sometimes than the regular season itself.
Frank in Pennsylvania. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
All right. Hey. Before I get to my Nick thing, real quick, I agree with you, Big Mac. This four-game series with Houston, to me, it's big also. I hate that team.
Yeah.
Probably more so than any other team in baseball.
Yep.
So I agree. I think the Yankees got to make a statement. 3 out of 4 or sweep, that'll make me feel a whole lot better, and then, you know, we'll take it from there. But the other thing about the Knicks with Kyrie Irving and this stuff, I've been a Knicks fan for over 50-some years, so I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Right.
If he gets this up, you know, gets really upset with the Nets with this contract thing, how about if he forces them to trade him to the Knicks make the trade? Don't you think in some crazy way he gets motivated in his crazy mind and wants to, like, have this unbelievable season or two with the Knicks or whatever it is?
Yeah, I have no idea, and I don't know if he's crazy necessarily, but it's just, it's hard to predict what his thought process is.
Yeah, getting inside his head is
so
not
to ask me,
go.
Don't I think he would be motivated to be with the Knicks? I don't know.
The Nets aren't trading him to the
They're
Knicks.
They're not
though.
Trading
so
him to
that,
the
that,
Knicks.
That
it's
scenario,
just not
just get out of your head.
Do I see a scenario where he comes to the Knicks and helps the Knicks? Obviously, he's a tremendous player, and if the package includes both of them, then you do it. If you're the Knicks, you bring them both in, sure.
Of
at that opportunity, as much as it's gone down a terrible path in Brooklyn and they're 3 years older and it's been a mess and, you know, Durant, that was miserable in the last series against Boston, you still have to take your chances. You're not going to get two better players. Good luck trying to build through the draft again. And we'll see what they do tonight. The drafts have been disasters forever.
Comically bad.
Comically bad.
Yeah, comically bad. And
you can argue the Jets and the Knicks could be the two worst drafting teams in all of sports, and they're both in New York.
And the fact that when you look through some of these drafts with the Knicks, the guy they passed on, the guy they just missed out on. I think back to the Zion.
Well, that's what's heartbreaking.
The Zion thing, because everything was like, well, tank, we'll get Zion. To me, it wasn't about missing out on Zion. We didn't get Ja Morant. Now, maybe they go out
Came
and
up
get,
one short.
Maybe they trade to four. They get Ivy, a guy that is similar to Ja Morant. They make up for it. But it's the Knicks. It's sort of that sort of you're waiting for them to screw up the draft because that's what they've done forever. Why would they do it now?
Even in the best of times, they get the third player on a two-player draft. That's
unbelievable.
That's the Knicks. They're one player short of Curry, you know, or they pass on Donovan Mitchell and take Frank Ntilikina. Like, this is what they do.
I even think back to, like, Ron Artest. Like, I mean, was sort of like they won the lottery for Ewing, whatever went on there, and they've sort of had to pay that
for that
back since.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, listen, Kyrie would help. If you can get Kyrie and KD, you do it. I don't do Kyrie by himself, but I would do both of them. But that's not happening. Neither is happening. It's just not happening. 877-337-6666. McMonagle and Lugauer filling in for Carton and Roberts. I'm pausing, I'm vamping a little bit because I'm going to get a read. Hopefully it's worded better than the Dunkin' Donuts one. Although we love Dunkin', And I don't think it's their fault necessarily, but there was like a, I said V Duncan. That's because there was a V in front of Duncan.
And that's not
a typo. That's not on me.
Nor is it on Duncan.
He will read whatever you put on that teleprompter.
That's right.
So we're going to try and be better. That's what I'm going to strive to be better.
That's Bush League, Aubrey.
Yeah.
It's Bush. What do you got in front of you, though?
Now I got Jack Pockets. We're going to do Jack Pockets. Good luck. What do you think? Good? Can we do it? All right, let's go.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
This is a good mood, too. You got to admit.
Yeah,
this is a good vibe. Little summer, crack a White Claw, crack a High Noon.
I'm done with the seltzers.
Well, we're not done with you. You're done. You never drank them anyway.
I did.
You did? Don't strike me as a hard seltzer guy at all.
Well, here's the thing. I'm saying the day chasers of the world have surpassed the White Claws.
Gotcha.
And what was the other?
Well, I'm thinking like, God. Truly.
Like, that's just, you're not sure what kind of booze is in there. These are, they've upped the game.
Yeah, you need like 8 to 10 of those to get going.
Yeah.
Noons are good. Noons a lot,
yeah,
bro.
The day chasers are delicious, bro.
Yeah.
We're
drinking a few of those down at the shore when we did the show with DJs.
There's like a spicy mango flavor. It's literally spicy. It was good.
Ooh.
It felt like you were drinking a tequila drink with like jalapenos in it. It was good.
You also
now, are you guys into the Bud Light soda seltzers they just came out?
I have not even attempted to try it. No interest.
I've had the Bud Light seltzers. Not a huge, huge fan of those. I kind of keep it like the broskies, like the Bud Lights, the Heinekens in the day, the Jaeger Bombs, Fireball. Like, I'm like BB when it comes to that
stuff. You
drink
like a 22-year-old even though you're 37.
Like a 22-year-old girl, basically, yeah. But not that there's anything wrong with that, clearly. No. But yeah, that's where I kind of keep it. I never really grow up.
No, I can tell.
Well, if you guys do try, they're terrible. I mean, that's there's one good flavor, and that's the orange soda flavor.
The orange soda one?
But do you know this? When you're rocking, when you're vibing anything to the dome, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, you take that.
I feel like that with shots. If you're buying, I'm drinking it. I don't care what the hell. Is this fuel? All right, let's take it.
I'm not a clear liquor kind of guy. But if you're buying tequila and I get one for free, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm not a big tequila guy. Like you said, I agree with you. But like, if my boy's like, yo, six shots of tequila, you in? I'm in.
All right, why not?
No doubt.
Just to make sure I got the lime and salt.
Yeah, the lime and salt's fun. Yeah. I don't. To me, the chaser thing is always an interesting thing because, like, the people that chase a shot, it's like, just do the shot.
It's
3 seconds,
with,
it's over. It's like ripping a Band-Aid. No, I'm saying don't chase. Just take it.
But I will say, when I'm at a bar, I'll chase a shot with the beer that I have.
Oh,
in my
bro,
hand.
If you got like a Corona or something in your hand and you take a little sip, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm talking about people that immediately take the shot and then chase it.
Oh, that's
like,
crazy.
Part of taking the shot is getting that sensation, that energy that you get from the horrible tasting alcohol. Alcohol is supposed to not taste great.
Is that it? It's supposed to be bad tasting?
Don't
Very
you think?
Bitter.
It's horrible. Like, in reality, the taste of alcohol is not great.
It depends on what alcohol.
No, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do this is good because, no. Alcohol in general doesn't taste great, but with a shot, you just got to man up.
Okay, well, I mean, like a good glass of red wine, though, that tastes, I think, pretty good.
Nice.
Oh, you're talking about straight alcohol.
You're talking about straight alcohol.
Yeah, straight alcohol. I'm not talking about wine or something.
No, that's different. It depends on what you mean by straight alcohol. There's liqueurs that are quite good.
Like a Kahlua? Like is that what we're talking about?
I wouldn't take a shot of Kahlua, but yeah, you put Kahlua in your coffee. It's delicious.
A little Baileys.
Oh, Frangelico. You ever have Frangelico in your coffee?
Oh.
Frangelico is legit, man.
I'm
you want to really become an adult? You want to be 40 with kids? You put Frangelico in your coffee.
I don't want to be Zambuca. 40 or have kids.
It depends on where you put a little Zambuca in the coffee. Now, you know, with a little lemon.
Twist. A little lemon zest?
No, yeah, just the slight little lemon, like semicircle of lemon right next on the cup of the espresso. A little bit of anisette, a little bit of Zambuca.
You also drink martinis.
I love martinis.
Dude.
I had a martini at lunch yesterday.
Come on.
It's a martini lunch?
I didn't want to say that, but like the fact that they didn't mock you for having a martini at lunch.
What's the matter with martini?
First this of all, man is class.
It's not class. Martini's He's not delicious. A secret agent. It's disgusting, number one. The worst. Olives on their own are awful.
Fair.
Martinis taste horrible. Then you combine them, it's the worst, in my opinion.
Oh,
I've had a worse...
Dirty martini. You got to throw as much olive juice in that bad boy as possible.
I'm all for getting dirty, but I don't like martinis. It's my least favorite drink of all time. I could say that on the record.
That's
my
what I'm
worst
saying.
Drink
said,
ever is
you
martini.
You said alcohol is not good tasting. I disagree. I like a lot of alcohol.
Yeah, I just always looked at alcohol as like, I like to party, I like to be in the scene, and alcohol just happened to be there.
Right.
Like, you don't want to be the dude at the club, like, just standing there with nothing in your hand, so you got to have a little bit of alcohol. Mm-hmm. But I'm more about the scene than I am the actual alcohol beverage.
I've become an adult. My palate has aged.
Good luck with that.
And I have acquired tastes for different things. I like sipping scotch. You don't like sipping scotch?
I don't like sipping scotch.
Glass of Glenlivet or, you know, I don't know, whatever, Glenfiddich.
Little bourbon.
No bourbon. I don't drink a beer like Dogfish Hammerhead. Give me the Coronas.
Oh,
give me
IPA.
The Bud Light
you're
Limes.
Child.
Give me the High Noons, the White Claws.
Yeah.
Like I said, I might get DJs every day of my life.
No, you're a child sipping taking a sip of your beer. Your dad asked you to go get out of the bottom basement fridge. That's
Hey, Daddy, can I get a sip of your Heine?
My dad's beer fridge was Meisterbrau. It's like a...
The Burgermeister Meisterburger.
No, it's the Meisterbrau was like the cheaper Heineken. That was like my dad's beer fridge. Go down and get me a Meisterbrau. All right, yeah.
You know what I found out that was fascinating? Because we went to lunch, we were with Sonny. When I was in college, which we won't say how many years ago it was, the drink when you were playing beer pong, everybody got the, I'm forgetting it.
Natty Light.
Natty Light.
Yep.
And that, because it was cheap, it went down by water. It was like the beer pong front. Bro, I used to bring like Coors Light sometimes to frat parties. People thought I was like rich. What are you bringing this Coors Light in there for? Sonny told me they still are rocking that stuff at college. My man that goes to Michigan, Matt.
Yeah, Michigan.
Bro,
you know, you guys
we're
are still,
still
drinking that
Natty
Light?
Light?
Some things never change.
Well, dude, you're dropping $70,000 to go to Michigan. That's... You're probably going to be going a little cheap with the beer.
100%. Every time, it's always Natty Light. Every single time.
You would just think by this point, again, I graduated college. God, I'm 36, so do the math. You would think at this point we would have either upgraded or switched over to a different thing for beer pong. To me, it was like Natty Light. And if you want to go real ratchet, you went like Milwaukee's Best or Milwaukee's Beast. Ooh. That stuff was straight. Oh, that was awful, dude. But Natty Light was cheap. It went down easy. Great for beer pong. By the way, beer pong, I'm more of a flip guy because I think it's more like conversational.
No question.
You're having a tap with the girls. You get it going. Well, Zoo knows what I'm talking about. You're straight up. You're across
from
the girls.
You got mixed teams. You know what I'm saying? It's not just you and the bro.
That's it, bro. When you're doing beer pong, it's like kind of, it's you and your bro. It gets a little too dude heavy. You know what I'm saying? So when you do the flip cup with the girls, that's my scene right there.
And if you get stuck on the table all night, like you're screwed.
And bro, you want to say this.
That is the thing. I dominate. So now I'm at the table all night long because I don't lose. So now I'm playing beer pong, and it's suddenly like it takes a good 20 minutes to beat someone. Then I got to, you know, you have the occasional, oh, go get more beer, talk for a minute. But then you're right back at it because they want to come at you. And then you're at the table all night long, and before you knew it, you didn't even see your friends. You didn't even party. You're flat out on the table because Natty Light is the worst thing you could possibly drink. The next morning, you have a headache that, you know, you can barely see straight. And it's all because I got to be the best at everything.
And here's the thing, because I know back in the day, as I spill my cup here, yep. How fitting. When we played beer pong, I think we would put the beer in the cup. Now, listen, you cannot do this. For any of you guys out there in college, or you young boys, or everybody hanging out, if you are in a college basement frat party, you better put water in that cup. Because as soon as that beer pong ball hits that floor, there is evil that does not sleep in that place.
Blasphemy.
The disgusting filth nonsense
blasphemy.
That's all over that floor. I can't even say on the radio the stuff that's on the floor.
That's why you have a rinse cup.
Oh, the rinse cup? You ever see
the
that rinse cup? It's nasty looking.
You replace the rinse thing. Cup.
Bro, it is disgusting.
No, you put
water
beer
in that cup, and if you want to chug the beer, that's fine. And I get it. You want that's part
what
of getting drunk and having fun. You bro, it is
what
disgusting.
Is
you
if
you
to
play
put beer in the
beer
cup.
Pong in Morgantown, West Virginia, or Tommy, you went to Cortland, right?
I went to East Stroudsburg in Pennsylvania.
Exactly. You would not pick up a ball out of East Stroudsburg and drink that cup.
Wait, so you agree with him? Water in the cup?
Yeah, it's got to be water in the cup.
Oh, you guys are out of your mind.
We're the civilized.
You guys are living outside of your mind. You put beer in that cup. That's how the game is played.
And I understand when you go
otherwise,
to college.
Otherwise, you're just playing water pong, and you're taking sips of beer as you lose. No, no.
And, dude, I get it. I should have gotten hand-foot-mouth disease of my days in college. I get it. So I understand you're going to be doing some things. You're going to be putting some lips on stuff that, whatever. You know, it is what it is. But, yo, when that ball hits the floor, do not, under any circumstances, take it out of a cup and then drink it. Would
I
not
disagree.
Advise that.
You pick
water
up that,
cup, bro.
There
water
is a
pump.
Dunk cup, and you dunk before every sip, but you dunk before every throw, and then you got the patent air dry. You got the patent air dry, and then you get ready to throw.
And then I love when
what
you
are
get
you talking.
I
about?
Love when you get the dudes that roll in that think they're really, really good. They got the pop collar, they know the cartilage pierce, and homeboys are leaning. Bro, you can't be leaning. I don't like that. I can't even say it on the air. When the ball's going through the cup and you knock it out.
Yes,
you
know what I'm
saying?
What it's called.
I can't say that. I guess I could maybe say the
I
other
mean,
thing where you blow it out of the cup. Bouncing.
In context, it's probably
bro,
okay.
Anybody that does any of that stuff, that I don't want to hear it, bro. Take the ball and throw it. None of this bouncing. None of all this stuff. One rack per game. Agree? You can't do double rack.
Yeah,
never
two
go
racks
to,
per game, and of course
you don't
you
go
bounce,
to two racks, and you can't do desperation diamond. Always
gentleman.
Do a triangle. Gentleman game? No, only one
no,
rack.
No, the gentleman rack. The gentleman
oh, yeah,
rack.
Gentleman
two racks,
rack. Yeah.
Two
racks.
The second
and,
rack
and
is
bouncing
the gentleman.
Is fine, but it becomes played out. If you're one of those people who bounce all the time, yeah, I you have no business at the table.
I can't stand people that lean. Like, come on, bro. Like, I understand this isn't like cricket, but like, you gotta, there are some rules and regulations to the beer
pong. Yeah, you drink beer in the cup.
No, but especially.
That's the one rule. The one rule is there's beer in the cup. That's why it's called beer pong. That's the one rule.
No, there's other rules.
And you're
rules.
Skirting it.
You don't lean. And if anybody leans, you got to be called out, dude. I don't care
well,
if you're
fine.
At a frat house where the dude, it's their house. You have to call them out for lean. Again, I go back to it. Flip cup, bro. It's conversational.
I agree with. And it's more inclusive. You get a bunch of people.
And the games go for quicker.
No question. I'm with you on the flip cup. Do you have to drink... Do you have a drink cup and a flip cup? Because God forbid the top of that cup hits that table. You have no idea what happens on that table, bro.
See, Mac, you might have just revolutionized the flip cup.
You know
game.
How many people been on that table doing all kinds of things, bro, with dudes and dudettes that I have nothing to do with?
Dudettes,
I don't need any
like
of that.
That
I don't
that.
Need anything like that. So I'm not. You think I'm putting my lips on that cup after I flipped it upside down on that table? You got nothing coming. You have the drink cup. You have the flip cup. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm not, but I like it. Because again, bro, it's disgusting. Now, the table is not the floor. The table.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you cleaning the table? Did you get all-purpose spray on the table?
No, but there is just a level that you reach when you get to the floor of a frat basement. I don't care if you're at Michigan. I don't care if you're at East Stroudsburg, West Virginia. A dirty floor frat basement is a dirty floor. Flatbread.
That's why you have the rinse cup.
The rinse cup does.
The rinse cup.
Squad
and you change the rinse cup. You take it seriously. You take this rinse cup seriously.
Bro, you'd have to wash that thing in gasoline and detergent to clean off with
on that. You see a bunch of stuff floating in the rinse cup, you switch out the rinse cup. I've never heard such beer in the...
Water cup. Water pong.
It's ridiculous.
Take my advice.
James in North Arlington. What's up, James? How are you, man?
Oh, yes. So, I'm in the building, and...
You're in what building? You're in this building?
How'd you get
in? Is that the Hunger Movie? Where are you calling from?
At the Barclays Center. I'm at the draft.
Oh, great.
Looking for the contingent of that and Nick Media and maybe get an inside tip because it sounds like Adrian's post before. Maybe it's teetering on the Knicks thinking about a trade. And that's nothing would surprise me. I know you guys are in favor of that, but never underestimate the Knicks when it comes to trading Jeff choices and never underestimate the Nets when it comes to accepting them. I mean, what do you think?
I got to be totally honest with you, James. I just completely, you lost me. Early on, I completely blacked. When he confused me with where he was, because it's in Brooklyn, is it?
Yeah, yes, it is.
So he's from North Arlington, unless that's a town in Brooklyn I've never heard of. And we're very familiar with the island and all the boroughs. So he lost me on what he was saying, to be totally honest.
I think he was in the Barclays. He's looking for Nick beat reporters. He's trying to get the skinny on if the Nets are going to trade Kyrie to the Knicks. That's what I took from that.
Okay, good.
And if I didn't, that's the narrative we're going
to
spin.
He's not. They're not going to trade.
No chance.
Now, and they're not going to trade tonight, too. I really don't think this is going to be a pre-draft trade and all these picks tonight are going to be involved. Now, maybe the actual picks will get traded later.
Sure.
The players that get drafted might get traded in a while, but I don't think there's not going to be big news about a trade tonight.
And, a lot of these stuff.
Not for Kyrie and KD.
How convenient that these tweets come out. You see with the NFL draft, they want people to watch the show. At the end of the day, it's a television show. They could draft these guys under, you know, in closed doors and we would just hear about it the next day. They want people to watch the show tonight, so they're going to be like, ooh, maybe Kyrie will get traded to the Knicks, blah, blah, blah. It's to get interest for your television show.
Matt in Brooklyn. What's going on, Matt? How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the
call.
All
right, so tell us. You got to tell us. Beer in the cup or water in the cup?
All right. First off, I've never agreed with C-Mac more. Down to the dirty martinis.
Yes. Oh, I'm a vodka, not a gin martini guy, but a dirty vodka martini is the greatest cocktail of all time. Now, the thing with martinis, though, to be fair, is, you know, one's not enough, three's too many. Got to be careful with martinis. Can't be drinking martinis all night.
They creep up on you. They'll
sneak up on you. So very, you know, you got to be good with the martini. Can't go nuts on them, but they are delicious. But yes, beer in the cup. It has to be beer in the cup, correct?
Beer in the cup. Beer pong, in my opinion, it's not even close. Way better than flip cup. And bounces are definitely allowed. Tommy, you're really disappointing us. Have a great day, boys.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, I'm not saying that if you were just to compare beer pong to flip cup, that beer pong is the better game. I'm just looking out for the guys and gals that are young, single. Yeah. For conversational, getting in the mix, you know, getting to know somebody, flip cup is the better game compared to beer pong.
If I'm at a legitimate party where there's like a lot of people, I don't even think it's close. Flip cup. You get more people involved, different things. If it's like you and five dudes just chilling on a Saturday
night. Oh, you're like pre-gaming to go out?
Yeah, just messing around. Beer pong's the more fun game. You take more pride in a win. I like winning anything, and I happen to be a tremendous flip cup player as well. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. I'm drinking, I'm playing games, I'm winning. But the beer pong win is a much better win. It's a much more satisfying victory.
Well, because it's a team. It's just one.
It's one flip in a cup, and it's, you know, you and four other people, and it's a relay race, and it can be fun and everything. And it's good to win, but you win a beer pong, you dominate.
But you don't want to be that last person in line at flip cup, and you're like, come on. Beat him, and you're like
pressure,
three ahead.
That's fair.
There's pressure at the last, but beer pong definitely, this is a ridiculous thing to say. There is a sort of sense of athleticism when it comes to beer pong.
Skill.
And there is skill to a degree in flip cup, but there's more skill. So it's more of that, like, you know, hey, I'm really good at beer pong.
To steal a line from Evan. In beer pong, you steal their souls. You hit that last cup in beer pong to win a game, you are the whole, and you like walk away with your hands up in the air, you pull the Jordan. It's different than being the last flip cupper. It's not the same thing.
Give it to me hard. Let's go.
There you go. He also says that. 877
By the way, we should play, the show should play each other in beer pong. Now, I'm just by nature, the team should probably be you and Craig versus me and Evan. Best of three. We could do water. We're not going to drink here. But we have to find a way to play water cup, beer pong, whatever, between the show. I think that's digital. Will love it. It'll get tens and tens of views. They'll love it.
Oh, no. Well, I'm going to win.
But what if, let's just paint the picture, and I was saying Craig's bad, but what if your teammate is really, really bad? Doesn't you're not going to hit every cup. Sure does. If your team, you're only as good as
not
your teammate.
Not a beer pong, at yeah. flips, yes. Chris, because that could just be like there forever,
but you're not
and
hit
I every, can't help him.
You're not going to hit every cup. You need at least the guy or gal on your team to hit at least one or two cups.
I don't.
You think Evan's any good?
No, I think Evan's terrible.
I agree.
I think I'm up in the air on you. I could see it going either way.
I'm hit or miss, but I'm hit or miss.
I think me and Craig would be the two dominant players, and I would win.
So you think we should switch up the teams then? So it should be me and Craig versus you and Evan?
No. Me and you versus Craig and Evan.
Oh, me and you versus Craig and Evan.
Yes. Of course.
I don't think Craig would take Evan as a teammate.
Well, that's too bad for him. We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. McMonagle and Lugauer filling in for Carton and Roberts, taking you all the way till 6:25-ish when the Yankees take on the Houston Astros.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Apparently that's what you guys did in college. You sat around and watched cartoons and played water games. Embarrassing. You embarrass yourself. I actually heard Craig saying that. Embarrassing.
You embarrass yourself.
So there's a caller here. Just a little behind the scenes radio here. The second this caller was screened and put on our computer, Lugie was like, we're taking that call next. And I'm like, okay, we're taking that call next. 100%, Lug. You tell me when and I say where. So let's go. Here we go.
This sums up Yankee fans and why I hate them.
D.C. in Westport. D.C., what's going on? You're on the Fan.
Oh, what's going on, gentlemen?
What's up there, D.C.?
Nice to have you guys to have your some space to breathe there.
Thank you. I appreciate
the end of the week.
Yes.
By the way, you won the visor wars with your waiting for your head to hatch comment.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, right?
That sticks with the radio listener more than anything Craig wrote.
That was a great line.
I'm picturing like the soft-boiled egg that you crack on the spoon on the outside. Right. Oh, my God. It was so funny. Oh, my God. But if I hear someone else call and be like, well, if they don't sign Judge, we'll just go after Soto. It's Judge and Soto.
Come on,
Judge and Trout.
Dig up Babe Ruth while you're at it.
To retrain Yankees fans to get back to the place where we used to be when we are successful, which is success is success, which we haven't really had yet because we haven't won anything in the postseason.
Right,
but more. Always more, right, T-Mac?
Always, listen,
like, I'm not settling for Soto if you lose Judge. It's 100% where we sign
Judge. Whoa, DC. You're not settling for Juan Soto? He's a top five player in baseball, and now you're settling for Juan Soto?
And he's younger than Judge.
Okay,
so,
but you just use the word settling for Juan Soto.
For a couple years, but
right,
yes.
But we're set. I'm
with you, baby. More is more. Let's get them both. Why not?
Yeah, you don't want to, you know, when you lose Judge, we don't want to settle. For Juan Soto.
Yeah, we're not settling. We're getting them both.
And I think there was a little tongue-in-cheek there, but this is the mentality of a lot of Yankee fans that just eats at me. Dig up the Babe. See what he's up to. He could probably get you 40 home runs.
Why can't they?
First of all, they can't. I don't even know how financially they can even figure that out.
They'll figure it out.
Oh, yeah, they'll figure it out. They'll just move a couple decimal points. They'll figure it out. Because you can't. Because
you can't have both.
You can't have everything you want.
You give Judge the contract, right? It's when's Soto even a free agent? It's at least 2 or 3 years. So you're at the point where you're really at the end of the Stanton deal. You backload his contract a little bit. You got Chapman coming off the books this year, and you still have Loaisiga. You have Holmes, so you're not really going to put a lot of money into your closer. There's $17 million saved. You know, here and there,
The sick part is you believe
this. Pick up a few bucks.
2025, he'll be a free agent.
2025.
So you lock up Judge. 3 years from now, you get Soto. Bing, bang, boom.
Bing, bang, boom.
That's it.
It's plausible. When's Stanton contract end?
Because can we stop this conversation?
Oh, I'm so sorry, Big Zoo.
We're 5 minutes away from getting out of here, and I was finally calming down. We talked a little beer pong, and now we're aggravated because we're trying to figure out a way to how we're going to keep Aaron Judge and bring in Juan Soto. And then we'll get Juan Soto out of the division. Are you out of your mind? You can't have Juan Soto in the Bronx under any circumstances.
Wouldn't you rather let him be on the Nationals?
No. I'd rather be in Washington. The team sucks.
Stanton is under contract till 2029.
All right, so it'd still be another 4 years. It'd still be another 4 years.
But you could pay him, too. You know, maybe restructure it somehow.
Does Mike Trout have a kid? Maybe we could bring him in, too.
Why not? Scoop him up, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's not... It could happen. I know, I just bothered you.
No, but you believe it, though. I know you're trying to bother me, but you really deep down...
It's not crazy. It's unlikely.
But you believe Juan Soto will be on the Yankees.
I do think if they lose Judge, I think he will be.
No, I think you think that they're going to get both of them. They're not losing Aaron
Judge. I think it's somehow plausible. Because let me just tell you something, okay? The Yankees make a ton of money. There is no salary cap. And how do the Rams do what they do? The Rams are in a salary cap league.
I have no idea.
They pay everybody the best money. Oh, they go pay the defensive...
Cup. Aaron Donald.
Donald. Let's pay him like the best non-quarterback in the league. Let's give Kupp the most money for a wide receiver. Oh, let's give our franchise quarterback now, a veteran quarterback, give him big money. Oh, and we'll figure out a way to save $13 million on the cap.
And they haven't picked in the first round in a decade.
Well, and they haven't since Goff.
Yep.
That's their last first-round pick, Goff.
What a loser. I know he went to the Super Bowl.
They'll figure out a way to save.
He's a total stiff.
Remember the last time we did a show? When we were talking about... Russell Wilson. Oh, the Giants can't get Russell Wilson. They don't have the cap room. Yeah, they'll figure it out. You figure out a way to make the cap work, and the Yankees will figure out a way to the money work. After they win 125 games this year and win the World Series, you know how much money they're going to make?
If Judge and Soto are in the Yankees in a couple years, I'm leaving.
They're going to up the ticket prices because they win 135 games total and the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
They bring back Judge. Everyone's happy. They're going to raise the ticket prices, raise a lot of money. They'll probably sign Ohtani too when he's a free agent.
Sure,
in 2 years.
Why not?
I could use the second Babe Ruth.
Maybe they'll buy the Twins while they're at it. Yeah, yeah, dig up the Babe.
They already own the Twins.
The Twins can serve as a minor league, you know,
breeding ground. Yeah, that's great.
How about Ohtani? You got to give it to Ohtani. Judge is the MVP right now, but the guy drives in 8 RBIs one night and strikes out 13 guys the next. I mean, that's incredible. It's hard to fathom.
It is unbelievable.
It's hard to fathom. When you say valuable.
Or traction.
Like, literally, if you're really going to get into the most valuable, he has a leg up on everybody because,
of course.
I remember, do you remember 2005? It was 2005. A-Rod had a great year. He was the MVP of baseball. And it was between him and David Ortiz. And Ortiz had an unbelievable year, too. And it was just, Ortiz doesn't help you get any outs. Alex Rodriguez plays third base. He helps you get outs. You got to get 27 outs to win a baseball game. The numbers would have to be so much better for Ortiz to win an MVP over A-Rod because he doesn't do anything to help you get any outs. This guy literally pitches and he's going to have 160 innings. He's striking out 13 guys. If you really wanted to get into value, you could make an argument that even if he has subpar seasons, he's the most valuable player to a team in baseball.
Yeah, because he's a two-way player and he's the only one in the league that could do that. But
it's
obviously
crazy to think about. If you really break it down, last year he had this unbelievable offensive season, so it's like, clear-cut MVP.
No, clear-cut. Beyond.
This year it's not as good offensively, and Judge is having this great year. Team has fallen, lost 14 in a row, had to fire their manager. But, I mean, if you break it down as far as valuable, I don't know how you make a case anyone's more valuable than a guy who hits 8 RBIs one night, strikes out 13 the next.
Yeah, if you're in the MVP conversation, it's Aaron Judge, Ohtani, and Jose Ramirez.
That's the close music. Sorry, guys. Thank you guys for calling in. Here's the beautiful part about it. We'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. McMonagle and Lugauer filling in for Carter Roberts yet again tomorrow as we'll take you into the weekend. We'll do all the fun stuff that comes with the Friday. We'll do the blame poll. We'll have a good time like we did today. And we'll try and make sure we do things that don't embarrass us, like put water in our beer cup. But that's fine. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for calling again. We'll catch you tomorrow. Everybody have a good night. Let's go Yankees against those bum Astros. Go ahead. What do you say? What you got to say, Lugie?
If anybody can find Leon Rose, good luck, because he's our hard guy to find. But tap him on the shoulder and give him a message from Knick fans. Can you do something tonight that excites the fan base? I doubt it. Here we go.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.